chapter 6, that's where we're at. Us in our hot water. Hey, it's still warm, that water, by the way. Cool. We've been talking about grace. That you and I, those of us that are born again, are out from under the law, out from under the curse. We can walk now in freedom, just listening to the Lord and trusting in Him. We talked about works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We saw the difference, hopefully. As we began chapter 6, we could see sometimes that we get overtaken in faults. Sometimes they catch us. And we learn that we should, if we see our brother or sister overtaken in fault, we should humble ourselves and go and see if we can help. Not in a spirit of condemning or condemnation, but to help, that they might be restored, so that they could be reset like a broken bone, or mended, so that things can be all right with them. We want to help, in other words. And the last verse we read together was, every man shall bear his own burden. Remember, we're going to stand before the Lord someday. Those of us that are Christians, everybody will stand before the Lord, but those that are Christians will stand at the Bema judgment seat for rewards, not your sins are gone. You as a believer. But the works, whether they're wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, or silver, or precious stones. So we got to think about how we're walking, what's going on in our lives now. And that's what he's going to bring up next. Pastor's favorite verse is this. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word, that would be who? You. Come on, say it with me. Us, me. Okay, those work. It's a difficult language, isn't it? Yeah. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches, which would be? Got that one right. In all good things. What it means is, let's put it in English, pay your pastor. That's what it means. Now, why would he say something like that? Why? You have to understand what's going on so that you don't, now those of you that are visiting are thinking, I knew it, man, every time you go to church, they talk about money. I know. That's why I don't visit other churches. Stay right here. I'm not welcome another. Never mind. Why would he say something like that? We've been talking about helping one another. We've been talking about how we are free now to serve, free to do the things that are pleasing to God, and then out of nowhere, it almost seems like out of nowhere. It's not, but it does seem that, doesn't it? And he says, now let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So here's what's going on. See, in the Jewish world, just as well as in the Roman world, people weren't free to do that. In other words, in the Jewish world, you had to pay the priests and the Levites and those that were full-time ministry, those that served in and around the ministry and around the temple and the things of God. You had no choice. You see, they would give what they called a tithe. That word in our language means a tenth. And it was a law they were required to. You couldn't get out from paying that tenth. Who cares what you made? You make a dollar that week, then you got to give 10 cents. I don't care. That's the law. You grow tomatoes and you grow 20 of them. You got to give 2 of them to God, period. That was the law. Now we're talking about being out from under the law, aren't we? Being set free from the curse. We're out from under the law. And, you know, to make sure that the guys and girls in full-time ministry didn't starve, not only was the tithe used, but you read through your New Testament, you'll see what they call a temple tax. You ever heard of that? Temple tax. And they were taxing the people. What was that for? For the maintenance of the full-time ministers. You had no choice. You were taxed. It's like going to the gas station, got to fill your car up. You just put that little thing in there and pump away, and you're paying tax, aren't you? Like it or not, that's where some of that money's going. You had no choice. Now he says, you're Christians. The things that you do, you need to do from your heart because you want to. You're out from under the law. You're free now. See, they were taxed along with their required tithe. So was the Roman Empire. They were taxed severely. And to run the different ministries, you paid a tax. You had no choice. So the full-time teachers could be paid. They could be housed. They could be clothed. They could live. Now, Paul says, let him that is taught in the word, we're talking Christians now, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. The word communicate in the Greek is a word you may be familiar with. It's koinoneo. Comes from koinonia. What does it mean? It means sharing the things of Jesus Christ together. So let him or that person that is taught in the Word of God share the things of Jesus Christ with the person that is teaching. You see, full-time ministry is just what it means. Yeah, not only do you have pastors and assistants, but you have staff of all kinds. You take a look at the different churches, and depending upon the church and the size, different functions happen. And one pastor can take care of usually about 250 people, right around there. And then he's busy at that point. And so you would add as the ministry would grow, then you're going to add things. Many things need to be done, and one man or one woman can't do them all. It can't be done. It's a complete impossibility. The temple could not be run by just a priest, a high priest, and a helper. I mean, it took thousands to do that job, and they needed to be cared for. God says we need to take care of them. That's what Paul's talking about. The good things, as the good things of God's word are shared with you and me, then we in turn should share the good things of this world, the things that God has given us, to make sure that those in full-time ministry can remain there. What scares us is full-time ministers can really be rip-off artists. You know, that's what scares us. They can. I mean, you watch those, what do they call them? I call them fleece-a-thons. What do they call them? Praise-a-thons, I think is what they call them. Collect-a-thons, you know. And if you watch that, and you listen to what's being said, here's what they say, without using these words, because these words would be embarrassing. They say, our God, he's almighty, but he's not that smart. See, he has handled fiscally this year a little more poorly than we expected him to. So we've come to the end of our money, but we're not to the end of our year. That God has messed up. And so if you don't give, this ministry's going to shut down. What are they saying? God has handled it improperly. Listen, everybody. If God needed my help, we'd really be in trouble, wouldn't we? If God really did need my help, well, he wouldn't be God, first of all, would he? No. No, our God's too big for that. I like to tell people who are praying about ministries to support, I say, here's one. They say, well, we support you, but we're looking for others. Well, pray hard. Don't bail out the Titanic. Get off of it. If it is sinking, it's going to take you with it. You know, water's going to, you pray about that. And so we're used to ministries cheating us. We're used to ministers and church employees ripping us off. And doing things that they're not supposed to do and mishandling. That's what we're used to. That's just what we've become used to over the last 30, 40, 50 years. So watch out, he says. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. That is simply how those in full-time ministry can remain in full-time ministry. That's how they survive. And so every one of you needs to pray about that. And to help you pray about it, we'll do verse 7. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself, or don't let anybody else fool you. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, that is a truth. Verse 7 is a truth that operates in the life of every human being. Not just a believer, but a non-believer as well. No matter what they think, how they feel, what they believe in, what they don't believe in, that is a truth that operates in the lives of every one of us that's human. And it operates in every sphere of our life. Every compartment, every part. There is no getting around this truth. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a truth that there is no getting around it. Not in my life, not in yours, not in anybody's. And that's just the way God has set it up. If you plant corn, corn grows. And I think you know that. If you plant cotton, then cotton grows. As a man sows, as a woman sows, as a person sows, they also reap. You think about what you've been planting over the last years. And you think about how it's going for you now. And sometimes you say, Lord, why are you letting this happen? I mean, my goodness, I thought, I mean, you know, whatever you planted, there it comes. And so it would make me and you stop and think, all right, okay, I'm sick and tired of this. So I'm going to start planting something else. That would be the wise thing to do. A chaplain, a Christian chaplain working in a prison, saw one of the prison inmates working in the mailroom. He had a needle and thread, and he was mending one of the big mail bags. Well, he had never talked to this particular prisoner before, so he walked up to him and thought, I'll start a conversation. So he just looked at him and said one word. He could see the guy working away, and he said, sowing? And the prisoner looked up and said, no, sir, reaping. You get it? That's what we're doing. Do you understand that? That's what's going on in your life right now, in my life right now. That's what this whole thing is about. We're reaping. And it's something, it's a truth that we can't escape. You can't get away from it. None of us. God is not mocked. You know, that means you can't escape this one. You can't turn your nose up and act like it doesn't apply to you. There is no ignoring this truth. And it applies to every area of my life and every area of your life. Without exception. What are you planting? You say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, good. Praise God. That means you're going to go to heaven. What are you planting anyway? God's word is full of examples of this particular truth that sometimes we like to pretend doesn't exist. How about Jacob? They named him heel catcher. I mean, he started out trying to take something that wasn't his. And he used deceit to do it through his whole life, didn't he? And as he had to run away from home so that he wouldn't be murdered by his brother. And as he went and hooked himself up with some relatives in a far off distant land, he meets a guy named Laban. How does his life turn out there working for that father-in-law? He got cheated big time, didn't he? He married the wrong girl. Oh, I hate that. And he lifted that veil and thought, whoopsie. Wait, I worked 7 years for this. And he said, you cheated me. And his father-in-law said, sorry, dude. That's the way the cookie bounces. Or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. That's life in the fast lane. If you give a dance, you got to pay the band. You cheated others. So he had to work 14 years for the one he really wanted. And then it didn't stop there. He kept getting cheated every time the sheep were having puppies or whatever sheep happened. I mean, yeah, he was getting ripped off. And remember that whole thing. Why? Because that's what he planted. That's what grew in his own life. Did God love him? Sure. Was God merciful to him? Yes. Was it miserable for him? Oh, man, he made his life a miserable mess, didn't he? Till finally he thought, I'm going to be killed, when he was coming against his own brother. His brother was coming against him with 400 soldiers. He thought, this is it. I'm not going to make it. Because he had lived his whole life planting deceit. How about Ahab and Jezebel? Remember them? That's a king, king of Israel. What did they plant? Hate, deceit, and murder. How did their life go? And they were hated. People tried to rip them off all the time. And finally, they both ended up being murdered, didn't they? Because why? Because there's a truth I cannot ignore. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, but I'm saved. Then let's look at Paul, the apostle. He was in the leadership, making sure that Stephen was stoned to death. He got born again after that. He was completely forgiven. But what happened to him? a little later down the road. He was stoned to death, wasn't he? I thought you said God forgave sins. He does. But I thought you said we're forgiven and it's forgotten. It is. But you see, that's what he had planted and that's what grew. The truth is we can't get out of this particular situation. Can't do it. So it makes sense that I would begin to start paying attention to what I'm planting over here. I am so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's start planting something else. Man, if you want watermelon, don't plant thorns. Makes sense, huh? Mel Trotter. Some of you probably recognize the name. An evangelist. Pretty big evangelist in the United States, what, 40 years ago or so? Before he was born again, he was a big alcoholic, a heavy drinking alcoholic, and God saved his life. And he went into the ministry and began, God gave him that gift of evangelism, and they would do meetings across America, and people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. What an amazing thing. One night after one of the evangelistic meetings, it was just so blessed. They were thrilled. The pastors, their wives, and a few others said, let's just go out and just celebrate. Meetings were over. And so they went to this big ice cream parlor. That's celebrating there. They took him out for ice cream, and some of the pastors ordered banana splits. I mean, just, milkshake. I mean, and that table was just filled with ice cream. And Mr. Trotter ordered a small glass of carbonated water. That was what he got. And they began to rib him and started, come on, what are you worried about your weight? Come on, let's just celebrate. Look at what God has done. Let's just party. And they invited the Lord. They prayed even before they ate their ice cream. And here he is with this little glass of carbonated water. And so you got to be kidding. Come on, get some ice cream. This is a quote from Mel Trotter. He said this, when the Lord gave me a new heart at my conversion, he did not give me a new stomach. I am paying for the years I spent drinking. Was he born again? Oh, sure. Did God love him? Yes. Was God using him mightily? Absolutely, without question. But could he have ice cream? No. Could God have healed his stomach anytime? Sure. That's why he said, when God gave me my new heart, he just decided not to give me a new stomach. You see, the things I plant, they grow. What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your health? What are you doing with your time, with your talent? What are you doing with all that energy you've got? What are you doing with it? You're planting it, every bit of it. You're planting it, and you're spending it some way. You're planting it, and it's going to grow. And verse 8 says this to us. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, break that down. You got two ways to do it. If you spend your time, your money, your energy, your talent, your abilities, if you spend them on the things of the flesh, you will reap a harvest that's going to break your heart. It's going to make you miserable. It's going to destroy your life. But you still have a choice to make. What are you going to do with it? And that's what he just says. Now, let me read to you Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. The children of Israel had done that. They had not listened to the Lord. They didn't care about the things of the Lord. They just were trying to do their own thing. And so Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says this about the children of Israel. They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it does yield, or it yields, the stranger shall swallow it up. What's happening? The harvest that you're going to reap is going to break your heart. Everything you and I are planting today is going to grow. It is going to grow. And you say, I don't care. Well, but you will. You know, because the truth is, time wounds all heals. Keep in mind that nobody's getting away with anything. It just always looks like it. But me and you, we're not going to do that. If we're going to be wise, we're going to say, all right, I've got this little bit. I remember when my wife and I, in the ministry first starting, we were making nothing. And because we were making nothing, we decided we couldn't tithe. Now, that's pretty tacky to teach people to tithe, and you're not doing. You're the pastor. And we got to that part in Scripture, said to Gene, I can't teach this. And when we're going verse by verse, you think, I better skip this. Well, I can't do that. So, you know, we decided, you know what? We need to be faithful. Faithful. You know, God doesn't expect us to be faithful. What are they paying us? $300 a month, and our rent is $350. But we thought, you know, this is what God says. So we decided, because God says he loves a cheerful giver, we decided, all right, we're going to give from our hearts. We're going to do it because we want to. You know, we're told not to put God to the test except in one particular case. What is that case? Money. Isn't that weird? Go back and read Malachi. It's a short book. Oh, and if you just don't have that kind of time, read chapters 3 and 4. God says, you test me and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour it out on you so much so that you can't hold it all. You'll smash it down and shake it, and you'll still not be able to hold it. Now, some people take that to mean, oh, good, if I give God a dollar, he'll give me 1,000 back. It didn't work that way in my life. But he began to move in such a way to where I could see, I'm planting this now in the right place, and what's growing is right. And so you start to find out that if you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Now, on the other hand, the rest of the verse says this. If you spend your time, your energy, your money, your talent, the things that you have, you spend them on the things that are of God, the things of the Spirit, you shall reap a harvest that will last forever. In other words, that will last for eternity. That's what the verse is telling you. And you can go on further in Hosea, book of Hosea, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 12. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You see, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we know what's right to do. We're just a little afraid to do it. Never yet have I ever seen God's word to fail. There are times when I thought it's going to happen. He's not going to come through. This is going to be the very first time I have ever seen him miss it. And he has never to this day failed. But he doesn't seem to want to come through early. Man. I'm being very patient, Lord. I'm waiting. I was with the pastor, an old friend of mine. And we were at a meeting in somewhere in New Mexico. Well, God only knows how we got there. I don't remember. And New Mexico is a lot like Arizona in the fact that when it rains, it's like someone took a knife and ripped the sky open. It all pours out at once. 10 minutes later, it's finished, you know. And we were under this band shell kind of thing, and he was teaching, and it was made of metal, and it started to rain. You couldn't hear a thing. And so in my mind, being this young pastor, I think I was 27 years old or 28. In my mind, I thought, this meeting's finished, man. Well, God's shutting it down. But in the old pastor's mind, it wasn't. And he looked at the sky and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. I thought, oh no, I'm going to be embarrassed now. Oh, and it stopped. He just went, pfft. I just bowed. I'm telling you right now, a lot of people got saved that night. I think the other pastor got saved. You know, God never fails. When he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But you notice we need to put our lives and everything that we're about into his kingdom. He can do anything. And I keep thinking, well, do anything. Just do anything. Have you ever felt that way? Do something. And he's just so calm. Well, why? Look. Look at the next verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we don't faint. Don't become weary. Begin to give to the Lord. of your time, of your talent, of all that you are, all that you've got. Begin to give that to God and serve Him. And don't let yourself grow weary. It's not talking about a physical weariness. Your bodies are going to get tired. That's right. You can always go put them down, lay them down for about 8 hours, get them back up. They're fine. Have a little power nap or something or whatever you guys do. And your body's back up to speed usually pretty quickly. But it's a weariness in the heart. Lord, I've been doing this. I've been serving you now. And it seems like it's not getting anywhere. It seems like nobody's noticing. Well, listen. Nobody's going to notice. We had a man leave the church because he said, I've served and I've served and I've served and nobody notices. Well, you see, I know what he was planting. We couldn't tell at the time, but there it comes. That's loud and clear what you were planting. You were planting what you wanted was to everybody to see you. Well, what grew? He was planting a sour heart. He had a sour heart. That's what he got. You don't serve so people will know you're serving. Young girls come to me and say, I really believe God wants me to get married, but I don't have anybody in mind. What do I look for? Somebody said to me, all the good ones are taken. I said, talk to wives. And there are no good ones taken. There are no good ones been taken. All the good ones must be out there somewhere. Talk to my wife. I say to these young girls, you look for a man who serves God. Look for a man who serves God when nobody is looking. That man who's serving when he thinks nobody even knows he's doing it. You got a good one. Who cares what he looks like? He'll grow out of it. He'll get old or he'll grow something and cover it. Sorry. You look for something. And guys, if you're looking for a girl, and that's all right, that's not a sin. Unless you're married. Then look for a girl who loves the Lord and who serves God when nobody even knows she's serving. There is someone that you know will be a helpmeet, someone that you know will be a blessing. Serving the Lord, giving your all to the Lord. And don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in your spirit. Continue to serve and let God strengthen you in that service. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. To faint means to quit, to give up. Don't let your heart grow weary in it. Let God strengthen your heart every day and serve Him and continue to give and continue to work and continue to go on and on in Jesus Christ doing the things that are right. Because notice verse 9 is a guarantee. You see the guarantee in verse 9? Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Why? Because the harvest is guaranteed. See that? It is sure. The things that you plant for the kingdom of God, that's a sure harvest. You've got a guarantee in your hands. I'll read it to you. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. It's a promise if we don't give up. Now, there, another key. Remember, it's an inescapable truth. There will be a harvest. Whatever I plant's going to grow. Whatever you plant's going to grow. Start praying about what you're planting. In your marriage, in your walk with the Lord, in the way you're working, in your whole life, start praying about what am I planting? Because that's going to come back. It'll either come back to bless you or come back to haunt you, but it's coming back. And what is well-doing? He says, we don't want to grow weary in well-doing. That means doing what is right and what is pleasing and what brings God glory. Well-doing. Doing what is right, what is pleasing to the Lord, and what really brings Him glory. That's what, you don't want to get tired of that, and you don't want to quit. But notice there's a key in there. For in due season you shall reap. There's your guarantee of a harvest, but when is it? In due season. See, I'm not into horticulture or into agriculture. I'm a mess when it comes to anything like that. And I remember, I've told you this, planting potatoes. We planted potatoes and we planted them and watered them and did what we were supposed to. And the next day I ran out there first thing in the morning and there was nothing. I mean, nothing green. There was nothing. And I'm going, Dad, there's something wrong with mine. He comes out and looks, he says, what? Well, there's nothing here. Well, it's only been 24 hours, son. You got to give it time. Well, the next day I was out there. That's time. That's two whole days. Nothing. I mean, a week later, you barely got this little green thing. I'm going, you got to be kidding. You know, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, so I read the instructions on the labels. They lie on those labels. So you plant this watermelon, and you'll have a watermelon in 90 days. Not mine. I barely got a plant in 90 days. What did I do wrong? There's nothing growing on this. When are we going to have it? You're going to have it. If the sun lasts long enough, you're going to have it. You notice, when it's time for the harvest will come in. You don't plant and reap the following day. Many times there is a wait, not a load, but a W-A-I-T. There is time involved, isn't there? And we have to wait. There are seasons in your life and in mine. And so sometimes we're giving to the Lord and it seems like nothing's growing. I was out there yesterday, man, there's nothing out there. You know, we were talking about hydro seeding. We're going to hydro seed. And the good, cool thing about hydro seeding is you spray it down and it looks green already. It's kind of a greenish blue. I'm thinking, all right, cool. You put that down and in 3 days you got grass. Then they tell me, no, it'll take a month. A month? We're paying for that? We got to wait a month to have grass? Well, the good thing is it looks like grass. It's green blue. I'm thinking, oh, man, there's nothing to cut or trim. We got to wait. You know, your life is seasons. Season we've got coming up here on the earth is winter. There are two seasons in Idaho, I've been told. Snow and company. That's about right, isn't it? Idaho, you got to love it. But you notice, we got that season of snow and winter coming, and so you might have to shovel a little, you might have to scrape ice, and a lot of things you're going to do. Well, when you shovel and you scrape, it's not going to be a lot growing. But there's going to be a spring coming right after that. That's another season, and things will get warmer, and little things start to bud out, and things get good. But then there's summer. There's a time coming. So he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For when it's time, when the harvest is time, you will reap. So there's your promise. If you don't give up. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. So while we're serving, while we're giving, while we're loving the Lord, he says, we'll have opportunities. As we have those opportunities to help each other, help. Especially your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Help. Love them. He's giving us the ways that we should walk. Remember full-time ministry. There are those who are in full-time ministry. In this church, what do we have on staff? 12 or 13. And every one of them has to eat and has to have clothes. And in theory, you set that for them, not us, because we base it on what happens. Because we have to first pay electricity and all those things that are important before we pay any staff. So you see, for full-time ministers to minister, that's up to God's people. Always. You feel bad now? You shouldn't. Because it's just something that you yourselves pray about. See, in other words, we do here with this ministry what God allows us to do, and that's through you. That's always the way it works. If we want to go further on radio, that's up to the Lord. And you see, that's how it works. So we remember to pray. And remember that we're planting. And the things that we plant, we want to be honest with them. Plant the right things. Because we don't want things to grow in our lives when the season comes around. We don't want those things to be ugly things. And a lot of times we catch you. If you talk to anybody in this room, anybody, long enough, and they're willing to share with you, and they're willing to open up, they're going to tell you, oh my goodness, here's what I reaped in my life from years ago or just from the last few. I mean, every one of us can tell you about what not to plant, can't we? It doesn't matter how old you are. It's amazing to me. I talk to young people that say, oh, yeah, I did this in school, and now I can't even get into college. It's going to take some special courses because I planted laziness back here, and that's what's grown, and now I can't move much further. And it's interesting how nobody can get out from under this truth that God has taught us. So we realize it's a truth. What do? Pray about it. Seek the Lord on it. Say, Lord, here's my money. Here's my talent. Here's my health. Here's my energy. Here's my time. Here I am. Show me what to do and how to do it. Of course, you always pray and you seek the Lord. And if the Titanic is sinking out there and you want to keep it up, before you just tuck in that love gift, pray. See if that's really what God would want you to do. Be careful. You need to discern and pay attention to what's going on around you. Pray about these things. Love one another, and when you get an opportunity, serve each other and help each other, especially your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's bow our heads.